mark them which cause division. Romans chapter 16, verse 13 to 18 is the title of today's Sunday school class. Verse 13 says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." The man Rufus is a chosen vessel wherewith God's presence abide. Not so much his salvation, but alluding to his godly character. He was one who lived out the Christian character. His love for God and the brethren is well attested. And his mother cared for the Apostle Paul, and it's like a mother to him. You know, a mother-like figure, someone who cares and takes care, dotes over the children. How meticulous is mother's care over the children? In the Gospel of Mark, it is cited that he is the son of Simon of Cyrene, who carries the cross of Jesus. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Lenski, the commentator, interestingly observed, Mark wrote his gospel a few years after Paul wrote Romans, and Mark alone tells the story of Simon, and when he does so, inserts the notice that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. It is very likely that here is written in the gospel in Rome, and wrote for the Romans. He named Simon's sons because the Romans knew them and had a full, and at least Rufus was one of their members. So this family had seen the Lord and have acknowledged his mission as their savior, and spiritually they were transformed. His parents' faith influenced him. We thank God for raising another disciple who loved him and served him. May God raise up Rufus in this generation to be an example to serve his people. Not only was Rufus chosen of the Lord, but his mother and mine. Well, you see how the Apostle Paul endeared the mother of Rufus to himself. As a lonely traveler, oftentimes in missions outfield, you would see how he cherished the hospitality of a good mother of a home. Verse 6:14. Salute Asyncritus, Philegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia and Narissus and his sister, and Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The Apostle Paul salute the leaders and members of two congregation of God's people. In Rome, in verse 14 to 15, the churches of Christ is with reference to the congregation of believers in the circle of churches that he has administered to. And here, it is well observed by MacArthur. He says, the practice of embracing and kissing friends on the forehead or cheek was common in Old Testament times. Men would sometimes kiss on the beard. Such kisses were in no way romantic, much less erotic, and kissing on the mouth was rare except for married couples. kissing was common among relatives and close friends, especially when they first came together after a long separation and when they departed, as is common today. To kiss a person of a high position was a sign of honor and respect. The New Testament church, at first composed primarily of Jews, carried on the traditional practice of kissing among relatives and close friends. Because many new believers were made outcasts, there was shown to them a sense of respect. And so to kiss a person of high position was a sign of honor and respect. And the New Testament church, at first composed primarily of Jews, carried on the traditional practice of kissing among relatives and close friends. Because many new believers were made outcasts by their biological families, the spiritual kinship of Christians became all the dearer and was frequently manifested by what came to be called a holy kiss. So you find that when a person comes to know God and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right, oftentimes he may be the only one in the family who is a believer, and the rest of them are not believers, and oftentimes they face many persecutions, they face many situations whereby their faith is compromised, right, and they are in a sense in a state of loss. Why were they in the state of loss? Well, because during those times, we said that they were, in a sense, after knowing Christ, they were not well acquainted with the things of faith, and therefore they needed to be taught in the things of God. But the family members may not realize and understand and may not know them. And so because of that, you see that the kinship oftentimes is very much affected. And because of that, you'd find that the Christian friends that they have who understand their faith and who also understand what they are going through oftentimes provides a point of comfort for them. And so here Paul is saying to the believers that we are to continue to maintain warm relations of spiritual kinship one with another. Whether, you know, the way by which we speak to one another, the way by which we would communicate, to show warmth, to show love, right, to show concern, to show care. Here Paul greets all these brethren. He says that all these are very precious to him, and in his journeys he has met many, and how they were friends to him, and they had opportunities to have close contact. And in their close contact, they were able to know and understand what they were going through. Each one was going through. And to be able to identify in their faith one with another, to encourage one another in the faith, that's most precious. So Paul had many good Christian friends. many who love God and serve God. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Why did he suddenly change tone here? William MacDonald said, well, the apostle cannot close the letter without a warning against ungodly teachers who might worm their way into the church. The Christians should be on their guard against any such who form parties around themselves and set traps to destroy the faith of the unwary. They should be on the lookout for those whose teaching is contrary to the sound doctrine which the Christians had learned, and should avoid them completely. And so we thank the Lord that we have friends in the church, we have members in the church, and we thank the Lord for the peace and the harmony that He has given us. But here Paul gives a warning. The peace and harmony of the church can be disrupted by those who crept in unawares, Jude verse 3, into the congregation of God's people. And they have a different agenda. Different agenda. The beloved apostle's counsel is to mark them. In other words, the word means to spy out, to look towards an object, to contemplate, to give attention to. So God's people are to be on the lookout for such persons that destabilize the faith of God's people. How he needed to provide that warning. And he's pleading with them to keep a lookout for such individuals who seek to cause division and who seek to teach a different doctrine than the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He says to them, avoid them, have no fellowship with them. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. So how will they influence you? First, they will give you, inject thoughts into your mind. They seek to influence your mind through their counsel. They will come, they will talk to you. And they will be very subtle. And through their counsel, you will be persuaded to stand with them. And after that, finally, you will be an advocate for them. So Paul says that be careful. Mark them that cause division. And may the Lord be gracious to preserve His church. Verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So Paul says he urged the believers in Rome to be mindful of false teachers that will with their smooth talk and flattery deceive the unguarded and the inexperienced ones. These false teachers come, they will serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own selfish interest. The term there is their own belly, their own lust, their own private interest. They do to obtain support. The authors of parties and divisions in church and state have this usually in view. So Paul sent Timothy to strengthen the hands of the church in Philippi. When he said in Philippians 2, verse 19 to 21, he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. So here is provided for us a warning. Pray that the Lord will send good men to serve him in these last days for his honor and for his glory. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace in strengthening thy people. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast provided for us the blessed picture of the Christian church, how there are so many who love the Lord and who would serve him. But here thou hast also provided us the warning that we should mark them which cause division. May thou be gracious to preserve thy church, preserve the peace and the harmony for thy own honor and glory. This I ask with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.